Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome back. This is The Flatline, and I'm the host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, sit back and listen, because this is going to be 30 minutes of inspiration, motivation, and education, and it's all going to be done without manipulation. That means there are no hidden agendas here. We're not here to convince you of anything. We're not here to manipulate you in any way, such as trying to sell you something or such as trying to get you to join some organization. That's not what the show's about. We're only here to document truth to you. This show doesn't offer useless speculation, but we do give you accurate information. The reason that that is so is because bad decisions limit future options. And so if you have accurate information based on the decisions that you have to make, you at least won't self-destruct in the end. So this accurate information is concepts of short biblical principles, short biblical problem-solving devices that we will help you to verify and identify. And if you want to orient and adjust to the plan of God, then you have the freedom and the privacy to do it in your own home, in your own car, in your own life. But I'm just here to give you some accurate information. You know, my name is Rick Hughes, and I have been hosting this show for several years now, but it's really not about me. It's about the information. It's about the message. It's the Word of God. God says that He's honored His Word even above His name, and He promised that His Word would never return void. So sometimes when I'm doing these radio shows in the privacy of my studio, I never really know who might be listening. And sometimes I do think about that. I wonder, is anybody listening at all? And inevitably, I get an email or a letter, and I find out that several people were listening, including you. And I'm very, very, very grateful that you've taken the time to listen to the show. It is my prayer that this information from the Word of God would encourage you in your life every day and in your walk with your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have been studying something that is very interesting. We started this study last week. This study is called Adjusting to the Justice of God Before the Justice of God Adjusts to You. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen carefully. Adjusting to the Justice of God Before the Justice of God Adjusts to You. Now, the Justice of God is very similar to the Sergeant at Arms of any organization. The Justice of God is the guardian, and in essence, it is the guardian of the righteousness of God. And we know that God is perfect. We know that God has a perfect plan. And we know that God has a perfect Son who lived a perfect life and died a perfect death. And we know that we are imperfect. Now, why would a perfect God with a perfect Son with a perfect plan do anything for imperfect people? And the answer is real simple, because He loved us. I mean, it can't get any simpler than that. The reason God did these things is because God loved you. Well, you say, well, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done anything like that. Well, remember, the Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So obviously, no, you would not have done that. But God did. And the Bible says God did that because God is love. The essence of God is love. In 1 John 4:8-9, the Bible says that God is love, and in this was manifested the love of God towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have eternal life through Him. Now see, this is the motivation of why God did what He did. This is why God sent His Son. You know John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And listen to Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. So the reason that God sent Jesus Christ, His Son, into the world, and the reason that a perfect God provided a plan for an imperfect people is simply because He loved us. Now don't lose sight of this. God loves me. And God loves you. Don't lose sight of that. When we talk about the justice of God and we talk about the righteousness of God, don't lose sight of the fact that these are two of the components of the love of God. For example, listen to Hebrews 12:6. God says, "Those that I love, I discipline. I scourge with a whip." When we go under the discipline of God for our own misbehavior sometimes, it's not because God is mad at us. God doesn't get mad at you. God doesn't get emotional like that, like you get mad at your kids and you tell them once to quit and then you tell them twice to quit and by the tenth time you're about ready to pull your hair out and you're screaming at them, "I said quit." No, God doesn't do it that way. He doesn't get temperamental. And God's love cannot be bribed. He doesn't love us more or love us less according to our behavior. He is love. He's been love since eternity past, and that is the essence of God. And that essence has the component of justice and righteousness. And justice is the guardian of the righteousness of God. Did you know that? Justice is the guardian of the righteousness of God. Now, if we talked about God's righteousness, we would call that plus R. God has plus R, absolute righteousness. And we also know that our Lord Jesus Christ had plus R, absolute righteousness as well. We know that. The Bible is clear about that. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." So the way that God brings us up to the same page with him is through Jesus Christ. The way we get plus R is through Christ. We are given his righteousness when we believe in him. And the only way you or I or anyone can ever have fellowship with God and stay out of the justice of God is to have that equivalent righteousness. And that comes through faith alone and Christ alone. And you cannot buy God off. You cannot impress God with your own righteousness. I don't care if you're an Eagle Scout. I don't care if you've never missed one day of Sunday school in your whole life. I don't care if you never did a bad thing. You never danced. You never smoked. You never drank. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to impress God. What impresses God is when he looks at you and sees the righteousness of Christ in your account. That impresses God. Now, when God looks at you and sees the wrong thing, then the justice of God has to step in and guard the righteousness of God. And we have been studying the justice of God. Let me remind you of something here, that on the cross, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the anointed Son of God, was judged in our place. So the justice of God poured out on Jesus Christ, the innocent Lamb, without spot and without blemish, all of the punishment that was due us. He was our substitute. He died a substitutionary death. He died in our place. The justice of God judged Christ so that you do not have to be judged. But if you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ and you refuse to accept Christ as your Savior, then you force the justice of God to judge you. And at the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 19 and 20, you will find the two bases for judgment. Number one is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and obviously it's not. And number two, well, then do your works equal the righteousness of God? And obviously they do not. Jesus gave us a picture of this judgment when he said, "In that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonderful things in your name?" And he said, "I will tell them, I never knew you." So if you're going to have a relationship with God, it must come through Jesus Christ. And the only reason that can happen is because the justice of God judged Christ in your place. He didn't judge you. He judged Christ. Now, there are two things we want to look at here. Keep this in your mind. We want to look at experience, and we want to look at position. Your positional truth and your experiential truth. In your position, you are righteous before God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But in your experience, you might not be righteous before God because you may have unconfessed sin in your life, and that breaks fellowship with God. So don't misunderstand. Don't mistake the two. One of them is your position. That's your position. And the other is your experience. And in your position, you have plus R. And that's why if you died today with unconfessed sin in your life, you would still go straight to heaven. Because in your position, you are righteous. In your experience, you're in sin. And so many Christians die in sin and still go to heaven. And what happens is they never adjust to the justice of God in time. You can adjust to the justice of God in eternity by believing in Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your Savior. But adjusting to the justice of God in time means that you grow up, you do what God tells you to do. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So what God is telling you is, I'm going to judge you one day in the future as a believer. And if you don't want to be ashamed at that judgment, then grow up now and understand what the plan is. Because if you don't, you're going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to see what you wasted, what you blew, the opportunity that you had and you never seized it. And you're going to be totally embarrassed. Yes, you're going to be in heaven and yes, you're going to have eternal life, but you're going to be there minus rewards. So come on, this is why you must adjust to the justice of God now in your experience so that you're not judged by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ as a loser who could have been a winner, but you chose to walk away from the plan of God and to meander down the my way highway. The end result is you wasted your life and you never had a significant impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in your generation. Now, either you adjust to the justice of God, or the justice of God will adjust to you. Again, the justice of God judged Jesus Christ on the cross in our place. That's why we can go to heaven. The justice of God could not judge us, and the reason is simple. The Bible says there are none that are righteous, not even one. Our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So how could God judge us? Since we don't have any righteousness. A perfect God had to judge a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. That was the perfect sacrifice. And so the justice of God was poured out on Christ, and He was judged in our place. And then when we believe in Him, we're given His righteousness, so that in position, our sins are now paid for. But without believing in Christ and without accepting Christ, then we, at the great white throne of judgment in Revelation 19 and 20, wind up having to pay for Him ourselves. And we wind up in the lake of fire because we cannot equal the righteousness of God. And thus the justice of God must condemn us to the lake of fire. God never intended for you to go to the lake of fire. That was not why He created it. He created it for Satan and one-third of the fallen angels that followed Him in His arrogant campaign to overthrow God in eternity past, but not for you. And yet, in your own arrogance, you may indeed wind up there by not believing in Jesus Christ. Now, as we study the justice of God and as we see how the justice of God is worked in eternity past, we have been looking at a story considering Noah. The Bible talks about this, and this is how the justice of God judged man in eternity past. And the reason that I'm giving this to you is I'm dealing now with experience, and I want you to see what we may be facing in the future in this nation, the client nation called the United States of America. We are a client nation for God, and we are in perilous times. So let's take a look at this. We have been studying the life of Noah, and we saw in Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a just man. And I told you the Hebrew word for just is a descriptive adjective called tastic, and it meant that he was righteous. He had plus R. You see, how did Noah get plus R? Same way you get plus R. You see, Noah simply looked forward to the Savior. And you look back at the Savior, but it's the same Savior. There's no difference. And so by faith, Noah believed God. And it was given, righteousness was given to him. It's the same thing that you have to do. He was a just man. You get plus R when you adjust to the justice of God. Now, you know, I saw a movie, very interesting movie recently, which I thought was kind of cute. It was a movie, and the name of the movie was Evan Almighty. And maybe you have watched that movie with your children. And it's about a United States congressman who God calls to build an ark. And it's kind of an interesting parody on what happened in the Bible. And I watched it, and I got a good kick out of it. And Evan Almighty kind of assumes the role of Noah in building this ark. But Noah was a just man in his generation. I don't think Evan was the kind of man that Noah was. I really don't know. But anyhow, this meant that he had plus R, the righteousness of Christ. And then the Bible goes on to say that he was a perfect man. Now, we have two things here. Noah was just, and he was perfect. This is a spiritual purity and a physical purity. Two different things here. Physical and spiritual. Perfect in his generation. That's what God said Noah was in Genesis 6:9. And the Hebrew word tamam is another descriptive adjective, which means that he was sound or he had integrity. And I like to say he just simply had no skeletons in the closet. He was unimpaired. He didn't have any skeletons in the closet. And God chose him to build this ark. And the reason is because the justice of God was about to come upon the earth. The reason the justice of God was about to come upon the earth was Genesis 6:11. And we had already seen, we studied this last week, and let me back you up. Remember, as he said in Genesis 6:3, my spirit will not strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, it took about 100 years for Noah to build that ark. I think in his movie, Evan Almighty, he built it in about a month or so. But it took about 100 years for Noah to build the ark. And we saw that there were giants in the earth in those days. Verse 4, Genesis 6. A lot of people scoff at this, and a lot of people laugh at what this is. But this is when the fallen angels that followed Satan in his arrogant rebellion in heaven came to earth. And they had sex with the daughters of men and produced a race of half-angel, half-man. This is why the earth was destroyed. This was a satanic attempt to infiltrate the human race, thus to stop the line of Jesus Christ from ever being born. And so this is one of the reasons God wiped this infected human race off the face of the earth and started over with Noah and his family. In verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of his heart was on evil continuously. Listen to verse 11. And the earth was corrupted before God, and it was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, verse 12, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said in verse 13, the end has come. He told Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence and through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then in verse 14, he mandated him to make an ark. Now, this was a divine decision from the justice of God. Why would God make this kind of decision? Because there was no way to reach these people. These people, their mind and their heart had so much scar tissue that there was no way to reach them. They had been infiltrated by Satan. There was a race of half angel, half man. Their mind was on evil continuously. The whole earth was corrupt except for Noah and his family. And a divine decision was made. That divine decision was made by the justice of God. Now, man had 100 years at least to adjust to the justice of God. I'm sure Noah warned every day, get on the boat, get on the boat. You can get your ticket here. It's free. Get on the boat. There is going to come a flood. And I'm sure during that 100 years that he was maligned, that he was impugned, that he was vilified, laughed at, scoffed at, until the day the flood came. But God chose Noah because Noah had a particular trait called fidelity or faithfulness, and he never wavered from what God told him to do. God told him in Genesis 6:14 to make an ark of gopher wood. Maybe that's cypress, I'm not sure. But he told him to put rooms in it and put pitch with it so it'd be waterproof. In verse 15, it was to be 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. And in verse 16, he was to put a window in it, put a door in the side, and it was to be three stories tall. It had three different levels inside. And in verse 17, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth for the purpose of destroying all flesh that breathes. In other words, everything that is in the earth will die. Now, I don't know if you understand the implications of this, because when you go to the Christian bookstore and you buy that cute little ark with all those little animals going up on there 2x2, first of all, that's wrong. They were not 2x2. There's some were 2x2 and some were 7 pairs of each. And so we have this picture of the cute little animals and the children. We hang it up in the wall of the nursery and we tell them the story of Noah and the ark. We think that's so cute. And we don't really tell them about all the people that died and all the animals that died and all the people that screamed to get into the boat and beg Noah to open the door when the flood start. Except God would not open the door. God sealed it. God shut it. I'm sure Noah heard the pleas and the banging on the side of the boat as mothers picked up their children and begged Noah to open the door and put their children in. I'm sure Noah and his family heard that, and yet they could not open that door. And every living creature, with the exception of Noah and his family, were destroyed by the justice of God. You need to understand this. God loves you. But there are certain things that God will not tolerate. Do you know why God destroyed every living thing on the earth in those days? He told you because, as we looked at it, because it was corrupt. It was filled with violence. You know, there comes a time in the lives of some individuals that they're not reachable. The scar tissue magnifies and builds up so much on their soul. And you can read about it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, or 17 through 21. You can read about it. You can see how scar tissue can form on a person's soul so that their heart gets hard and they no longer are able to determine what is right and what is wrong. And Satan had successfully deceived a whole generation of the people on the earth and infiltrated this generation and had attempted to destroy the plan of God for future generations. So why was God so severe? Because of what I just said. And he said with Noah, I will establish a new covenant with you, and with you and your family, and with you and your family. Now the divine instructions concerning the animals in Genesis 6:22, Noah obeyed everything that God told him to do, everything that God gave him instruction to do. And listen to Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come you and all of your house, that's Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their family, come into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast, now just listen carefully, Genesis 7, verse 2. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his females. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon all the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and then I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth. And verse 7, and Noah went in, his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And so here it is. God's judgment came upon this earth. Why did God choose Noah to do this? Why, out of all of the millions of people on this earth, did God choose someone like Noah? Because he was a just man, and he was perfect in his generation. If this were to happen again today, could God choose you? Would God choose me? Are we that kind of person? That's the question. Or if he did choose us, would we be too embarrassed to build a boat like that? Out behind the softball field? Down at the hunting club? Over at the city park? Would we be too embarrassed to build that boat? Would we be embarrassed about what people would say about us? Would we quit halfway through the process? Would we have the nerve to tell our friends that judgment is coming, that the earth is about to be destroyed, and that God has provided a way out because he loves you? He sent an ark, and you can ride on it to safety. You know, this is exactly what God has done. He's given us an ark today, and that ark is his Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And the justice of God will not always tolerate the sin of man in this generation. And yet we do not warn. We are ashamed. We do not speak out. And we are intimidated by those that don't believe, and by the press, and by everybody else that laughs when you say something in regards to God and what's going on. You see, the justice of God, you can track it and you can see it. You can see it all down through generations, how the justice of God works. Was Noah the only believer in the whole wide world? Was he the only believer in the whole wide world at this time? It appears that he was. It says he's the only righteous one that was there. There's a great verse in Acts 16:31 that says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy entire household with thee." Maybe this is why Noah's family was brought onto the boat. Maybe Noah had told his children about the justice of God, and they had believed. There was something in his soul that met God's approval. Listen to 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord says unto Samuel, "Don't look on his countenance," that's the appearance, "and don't look on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outside, the Lord looks on the heart." And that was God talking to Samuel in relationship to the sons of Jesse and the future king of Israel. The point is that God looks at our heart. He sees what we're thinking. He knows our intentions and our motivation. You know, a lot of us put a lot of work into our image and our style so that we are accepted and meet the approval of people. And some people use our physical stature to impress others with muscles and physique and look, and we try to impress people with that. But as far as God's concerned, your physique does not impress him. Your style does not impress him. What impresses God is what's in your heart. Are you a just man? Are you a righteous man? Is that you? Could you be the Noah in your generation? We don't have all the facts, God does, but we know that God saw every hidden flaw in the heart of man, and we know that Noah met God's approval. Now, there's a lot more to say about this, and I'm running out of time quickly, so let me just say this. Either you adjust to the justice of God, or the justice of God will adjust to you. We're going to see some other episodes, even in the life of Abraham, and Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that did not adjust to the justice of God. And we will see other illustrations of it. So stick with me. You're going to learn some important lessons in regards to how the justice of God adjusts to us. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.